From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University, Beers with the Brewers.
All right, well, welcome everybody to Beers with the Brewers. This is the November 12th episode. Got a lot of things going on lately, so I'm Mark Richards, and also on a podcast this week, we're very happy to announce that we've got Justin the Java King Reich.
Hey, everyone.
We also have Walt Keys. You can hear laughing there in the background.
Yeah, here I am. I got a whole lot more Top Gun opinions for you this week.
And Dan Schaefer, and I don't know, I'm seeing this on the notes, Dan Schaefer? I'm not sure about that.
Oh, boy. This is not the way I wanted to start this. I do not agree to this.
Just Dan? I like it.
There's a certain level of decorum that I expect when I come on this podcast, and it's already been thrown out the window.
Yeah, I try to give you a good lead-in ordinarily. I don't know. Somebody's screwing around with the notes here today, but this week we got another two-beer episode. We have one that is widely available and going into grocery stores as we speak, Bottomless Coffee Lager with Coffee. Clean, bright coffee notes and light. And also today, we get an opportunity to talk about one of our experimental beers. We normally don't have a full-on description on our experimental beers, and Experimental Thursday is today. That's kind of when we've been trying to release our experimental beers, and this will only be available at the Land Grant Tap Room for carryout or home delivery. The Experimental Cherry Almond Sour. Tart, cherry, almond, and vanilla. Now, per Dan's request, we're getting back into chili season. And I hear that he may have a taco chili pairing, or at least just a chili pairing this week for one of these beers.
Well, I was thinking something like a, you know, if you're doing a coffee rub on your, I don't know if you guys are ground meat or more like chuck shoulder type people for your chilies, but if you were to do a coffee rub on it when you browned it off, I think that would be excellent in your chili.
That'd be a good move.
Yeah.
I'm in.
That sounds great.
Is there really anything better than a nice coffee rub on a big hunk of beef?
In the morning? Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a few things better, but it does sound really great. It sounds fantastic. Delicious. Well,
have you guys seen Top Gun?
All right, now, no Top Gun.
No Top Gun this week?
I think we covered it pretty thoroughly, although Dan did have every member of the cast dead, none of which were.
Is Top Gun the one with that yellow cat who has like the purple vest and the hat that drives a taxi cab?
That's Crazy Taxi.
I was making a Top Cat reference. No one got the Top Cat joke.
I'm only familiar with Crew Cat.
Oh, okay.
All right, so maybe you've heard, maybe you have not heard, maybe you care, maybe you don't, but the big Ohio State-Maryland game, which we all have been counting down to for quite a while, has been canceled. That was set to go at 3:30 on Saturday. So I picked out a different game for you to watch. I think everyone should come down to Land Grant to watch the big Texas State Georgia Southern game at 3:30 on Saturday and drink beer with us and root on the Texas State Wildcats. That's what their logo looks like from here. So there's that.
It's a good guess.
Yeah. So that big game is on Saturday. So come check
that
out with us.
Bobcats. Bob.
And maybe you can stick around for LSU Alabama later. No, that's canceled too. Boy, it's going great out there. But anyway, the football that is played and televised we'll have on at the Beer Garden. So come down and safely socially distance with a friend or a loved one and watch football with us.
Safely and socially distanced so your games aren't canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Sunday, Moto Yoga, 10 a.m. Come do some yoga in the beer garden. Check out Moto Yoga's social accounts to reserve your spot for that. Should be a good time. Browns are back in action on Sunday at 1 versus the Houston Texans. I believe your boy Baker Mayfield is ruled out for that one, but also with COVID. So, again, football just really, you know, who could have foreseen that this was going to happen? But, you know, I'm sure the Browns will be fine without him. Trivia update. It's going to be going down, weather permitting, I think, at this point. So if the weather's nice-ish on Tuesdays, Travis will be down here doing trivia in the beer garden. If it gets real cold or if it's raining or whatever, it will be canceled that week. So I don't know. If the weather looks good Tuesday, come on down and play some trivia. If it doesn't, you can come on down and have a beer and sit inside if you like. It's really about all we got. We got the holiday market is coming up. That's going to start on Black Friday, which, as you know, is the day after Thanksgiving. So that's just a couple weeks away. Excited about that. We're just rolling into the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
With I guess I should give our great food trucks a shout out. Mondays, Street Time is here. They do burgers and the like. Tuesdays, we are switching things up a bit. Our good friends from Satan's Realm will no longer be here on Tuesdays, but it's good news for you if you like them, because they have their own brick and mortar. They're calling it a deli, opening up in Clintonville. So if you miss seeing them at Land Grant on Tuesdays, fear not, you can get them soon to be anytime up here in Clintonville. But our friends from Tortilla, are they already open? Well, there you go.
I was full inside the other day.
Cool. But yeah, our friends Tortilla are taking over on Tuesdays with burritos and tacos, things like that. You could even have a Taco Tuesday if you're so inclined to use the term Taco Tuesday. And then our friends Two Fat Indians are here Wednesdays. And as always, Ray Ray's Hog Pit award-winning barbecue here Thursdays through Sundays. So there you go. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a bottomless coffee.
You know, it says bottomless on the can, but I'm afraid I'm going to find the bottom pretty soon.
Sadly, it's coming pretty soon on my end as well. So, fortunately, we got Justin on this week to tell us all about bottomless coffee.
Oh, great. Hey, everyone. Bottomless coffee is a Vienna lager with coffee from our friends over at Stoff's Coffee Roasters. It is 5% ABV. It's got Vienna malt, dark Munich, and Tettnang hops. It's a perfectly clear beer with aromas of coffee, a little bit of like a cinnamon spicy character on the back end with like a toasted bread, and I get a little honey roasted peanut on this. I could be crazy.
No, I totally get all of that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the crazy things when we actually did trials with a whole bunch of different coffee beans from Puffs. And the coffee we selected was the India Monsoon Malabar that they have out, which I think on their website it says something along the lines of, like, interesting spice character. That is their description.
Yeah.
But when we added it to this beer, it is like a cinnamon honey peanut kind of thing. That is.
Yeah, you said honey roasted peanut. Is that what you said?
I did. Yeah,
that's what he said.
I definitely get that. Like, I don't know if I would have pulled that out on my own, but now that you've planted it in my brain, I definitely get that flavor.
Planters to it.
Not a sponsor
yet.
We're working. Planters, get at us if you want to sponsor our beer podcast.
That'd be a nutty idea, wouldn't it?
I see what you did there. It never ends, does it? Justin, no, you're full of them.
It's bottomless.
I'm full of, yeah, bottomless puns here on the Beers with the Brewers podcast. Sorry, Beers with the Brewers podcast.
Truth.
So yeah, at the beginning of quarantine, which now seems like it was 12 years ago, I found myself working from home for about a month. And when you're working from home and you're a brewer...
We sent one of our 80-barrel tanks over and set you up with a 20-barrel brew house there.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of brewing going on. So it was a whole lot of computer work, which newsflash, I may or may not have had a beer or two while doing said work. Sue me. But one of the beers that I...
HR listens in on this recording every week, Justin.
Yeah, Aaron's in the room right now.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
But I kept buying Wolf's Ridge Daybreak Coffee Cream Ale. I think they have vanilla in that, which is now a gold medal award winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coffee Cream Ale from Wolf's Ridge Brewing Company. I kept buying that because, like, that beer with a coffee kick just screams, okay, this is a fine beer to drink at noon on a Tuesday doing computer work. But I know we kind of talked about doing a light coffee beer a while ago, and we actually did a pilot batch of Skull Session with coffee for our anniversary party last year, and the idea kept coming up, and then we finally were able to brew this, and I think it turned out just swell.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah,
it really tastes like coffee. Well, sometimes you have coffee beers and like you like it, you don't necessarily get it all. But
yeah, I think in particular for this, like the character of the coffee really comes through. Like Justin said, that honey roasted peanut and cinnamon adds something that you wouldn't normally get from just a, you know, ordinary cup of Joe. But I'm really happy with how this turned out. I think it didn't take much to pitch this idea. I think everyone thought that the sort of nutty, bready character of a Vienna lager would go really well with coffee, and it does.
Indeed it does. Well, let's talk about how bottomless these cans are.
There we go.
How crushable is it?
Quarantine edition.
How bottomless is it?
Well, Justin, you're the man. What are you saying? I am saying you're probably going to be a six crusher on this.
Are you saying that because you read my description on Grist earlier today?
Well, Andy just said he drank six beers every day while you were working from home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never said I had six
beers. There were a lot of clues.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure if you asked my girlfriend, that was probably something that happened on only one occasion, probably. I think it only happened once. And then I learned my lesson, and I was beer for a month.
The hard way, huh?
Uh-huh. But no, Mark, you're right. I think it is a pressure. It is a super, super light beer that has a lot of flavor in it, but it was meant to be crushable. So we kept the ABV low on it for that purpose. It's super balanced. It drinks really, really clean. So, yeah. I'd say six.
Now, I've got a lot of experience with drinking 5% beers, but how about the coffee effect on this, if you have six of them?
Yeah.
Where are we at on that?
I think by the sixth can, I feel like the coffee probably won't be very prominent at that point. That's kind of my thought. I kind of equate it to, like, if you're drinking smoked lagers, like you have one smoked lager, the first couple of sips are like, wow, I'm drinking a campfire, and then you get to the end of whatever your eighth bottle,
mm-hmm.
and you're drinking a Marzen. Could be incredibly wrong on that, but
what about as a stimulant?
I don't know. That's what I'm just going to say. I don't necessarily know what the caffeine extraction is. I mean, there has to be some, but I mean, we don't grind our coffee at all, so the extract is probably going to be minimal, if anything. But
yeah, and there's obviously a lot more water involved than your typical, like, Mr. Coffee maker.
Right. We'll send it to the lab, and we'll get back to you. The coffee lab.
That's it. Well, all right. So what? This is what, like, a, was this an 80 barrel or a 40 barrel batch or a 60?
It's an 80 barrel. Batch. All right.
And so
we do 80 barrels of beer, barrel of coffee,
a pound per barrel. Okay.
Yep.
So approximately 80 pounds. That's good math, huh?
Good. You did it.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea how that translates to a cup of coffee at all, but
you tried, though, and that's really all we can ask for. There's probably someone listening to this right now who's got, like, a notepad writing it down.
And to see if they've accidentally drank too much coffee beer to caffeine. Fall asleep tonight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
They'll be all right.
Probably.
You'll be fine, listener. All right. What's next?
Crushability on this beer.
Oh, yeah. Still.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one who's rated it so far.
I'd give it a 5.
I'll fall in line with a 5. What about you, Dan?
I'm a 6. I'll add that in addition to the aforementioned chili, I am always on the lookout for my holiday beers, and particularly with Thanksgiving, what I'm going to drink when. I think this would be an excellent after dinner with pie option.
It would pair well with like a pecan pie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In the past, I usually go with like a big dessert option, but I can't just like pass out in a sofa like I used to in the past. Now that I have to make sure that my two kids don't, you know, destroy a turkey carcass or something. So yeah, I might need the extra alertness this year.
Yeah,
won't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the branding on this beer as well?
Oh yeah, we could.
Walt, since you're here.
All right. So when we said we're doing like a light coffee beer, my brain initially went to just like a diner coffee, like something you could just sit and drink all day if necessary. That's kind of where the name came from, the bottomless coffee, thinking of just like sitting at the counter at a diner and just drinking cup after cup of coffee. And so then once I had the name bottomless coffee, and the little pattern at the bottom is from like the, you don't see this much out here, but like in New York, if you get like the cheap diner coffee to go, or like from a stand on the street or cart on the street, you get those like Greek coffee cups. So that's where that little pattern comes from. But with the bottomless coffee name, I made this coffee pot pouring coffee into a beer can. And then I was like, well, I've got this beer can on the label. Now what goes on the label of that beer can? And I decided to make it the label of the beer. The best way to describe it is we've got an infinite regression thing happening, which is the label on the can. On the can is the same as the label on the can. And it just keeps going into a like time warp of beer cans on beer cans on beer cans. And yeah, it turned out pretty fun. I gave myself a real headache doing it, but in a way that like didn't break my computer, but I got it to work, and yeah, it turned out cool.
Dig it.
Yeah, I think that would be my limiting factor on the 6 crushability scale. It would be probably by beer 5, I would probably get a headache looking at the trying to figure out how many cans are actually on there.
Yeah, I did it, so there were 6, but I don't think the resolution on the print is quite high enough to make it that far. And I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can see 6.
I see
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Yeah, the 6th one's
for
pretty
sure.
Faint.
It's crusher, then.
I guess that's a good point. I changed my answer to 6.
Look at that, right on the label. Well, you twisted my arm, and it twisted so far that got a cherry almond sour opening now.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't tasted this until just this minute, and I got to say, I'm real into it.
Yeah, so this is 6.4% ABV, 9 IBUs. As with all of our sours, just has a very minimal bittering from tetanang. This one did a little bit differently. It's 100% gold pills, Vienna malt. It's a nice sort of bready backbeat. And in addition to that, we found a really cool place, King Orchards, I think it is, up in Satan's Mitten. I will say that's Michigan to everyone else. They sell a cherry concentrate that is made from a single varietal Montmorency cherries. It's very sweet, concentrated flavor. As you know, we don't always use concentrate, but when there's a particular type of fruit that has a lot of water in it, that we feel is going to water our beer down, we'll tend to go for the concentrated product to try to get a more vigorous expression of the fruit. But in addition to that, we used almond flour in the mash and Madagascar vanilla bean paste. So the inspiration for this is, if anyone has ever looked in a shop window of a patisserie, you know, particularly if you're in Europe, where if you ever been to Pistachio Vera in town or Le Chatelaine, they have all these, you know, gorgeous fruited desserts that are almost too pretty to eat. And that's kind of where this came from, is I wanted to make a beer that tasted like a fruit tart from one of those places.
This is really good, man. And the breadiness, like the crust, it's this is very dessert like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave out Mozart's on that list either, by the way.
Oh yeah, just up the road. Sorry guys. But yeah, I'd done some sour stuff at home where I'd use 100% gold pills, and it does sort of give the impression of a biscuity type of pie crust.
Yeah, it does.
I think it works well here. And the cherries, yeah, this doesn't taste, you know, confected or like a fake cherry flavor. It's very much like a cherry pie filling.
Yeah.
Real,
it sure very pure
expression of the fruit.
Yeah, 100%.
I need a hold on.
Got an extra guest here.
Yeah, that's June just saying hey.
Hi, June.
She just got done watching Top Gun, and she's got some opinions. Anyway, Dan, when I was like gathering the details for the label, and I saw your little description about like window shopping and seeing the bakery and the pies. When I first read cherry almond, I was like, huh, that's an interesting combination. But then I read that description, I was like, oh, okay, I see what he's going for here. And I was really excited to try it. And just now trying it for the first time, I think this is really good. And
yeah, it's amazing.
Really, I know we've gone for that like recreate the pie experience thing and some beers, and overall it's worked. But I think this is one where like, man, this is just outstanding.
Yeah,
really good.
Well, thank you.
What color is it? I don't have any glasses in here.
It's kind of a rich amber.
Take a peek in there, Walt.
Yeah,
it's kind of dark. Kind of dark.
It's not quite pink. It's because of the base malt has that warm hue to it. It's almost kind of a bit of a blush.
Okay.
Yeah, because somewhere between orange and pink.
Cool.
Well, how crushable. Who's taking the first round?
I mean, I tend to be conservative on my crushability on anything sour, just because I feel like the acidity builds up on you a little bit. But I mean, I'd give it a three. Three sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Yep. It's not overly strong or anything.
Yeah, I'd probably say like a three and a half or a four.
Yeah, I think I'm at a four.
Just for the same reason that Walt just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it is tart, but it's not overly so. Actually,
yeah, no, it's not insanely sour or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, the cherries brought the pH up just a little bit. So it does have like the same acidity of a cherry, which, you know, helps with that aspect of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the tartness, kind of more than feeling like you're drinking a sour beer, it does have that, just like the same tartness that a pie cherry has. So I'm going to go with the three. I'll roll with Walt. Make it 3.5 on this one. I happen to think after the third, I might be puckered out. But it's a 6 in my book on grades.
Puckered out.
Was that an intentional pun?
It was intentional, yeah. It wasn't even meant as a pun. I just, yeah. I would be tired of puckering. It hits you right in the back of your you know, cheek muscles.
Your maw.
Mm-hmm. Any questions about Top Gun this week? I think we exhausted everything we had.
Yeah, I think we covered it pretty well.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
What is everyone's opinion on Miles Teller playing Goose's son in the sequel to Top Gun?
My first response to that question is, who is Miles Teller?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to say that, and also I didn't even know there was a sequel to Top Gun.
So. It's coming out, Mark. Oh. We wanted to make sure we saw Top Gun for the first time before the
You guys haven't seen Whiplash?
The drummer movie?
For the record, I know who Miles Teller is, but if he had like the dirty porn star mustache that Anthony Edwards had, then I could believe it.
So I think I'm disappointed that he was never brought up in the original Top Gun.
Hmm.
And now he's just got a son who's this hot shot pilot just like his dad. Just saying.
And so he's also a drummer.
Seems a little shoehorned in there.
He's also a jazz drummer.
Yeah, in the same movie. Whiplash could be either about a fighter pilot or drums.
So it's all in the same cinematic universe?
Same universe, yeah. It's the extended Top Gun universe. That also bears a cat wearing a purple vest.
All right, well, I'll look for that when it's on Disney Plus.
Is Anthony Simmons one of the flight instructors / band director?
Yes.
That'd be amazing.
You mean J.K. Simmons?
Yeah. Or I'm sorry, Anthony Simmons. That's a different thing altogether. J.K.
J.K., you meant J.K.
I did. He could direct the band from the cockpit.
A band of fighter pilots.
Okay. All right. That's it. Let's shut this down.
Well, guess what? Next week on Beers with the Brewers, we turned out to be liars last week. Mr. Balloon Hands Cherry and Cranberry Berliner Weiss will be next week on a podcast. Should be available real soon. I think Friday, right? Tomorrow?
Friday, yeah. So, yeah, pretty much if you are Johnny on the Spot listening to this podcast, you got to wait a day. But otherwise, it is available now.
Yeah. So we'll crush a few of those next week. Everybody, thanks for listening. Gentlemen.
You know what they say, Mark.
Another hit episode.
Another hit episode in the books.
Take it right into that danger zone.
All right, everybody, wear your masks. Stay safe.
Goodbye, I love you.
That's perfect. All right, guys, have a good one.
No, you hang up.